Welcome to the James River Church podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
You can have a seat. You can have a seat. Thank you for that amazing introduction. And first things first, I want to give honor to our leadership because Pastor John is the reason I'm standing on this stage. That you have invested in me over the years in a way that I have seen my life and my leadership completely changed. It's your passion, it's your enthusiasm, your conviction, and honestly, your wisdom that has changed the course of my life. And I wanna publicly thank you for that, acknowledge you, honor you. Will you help me show appreciation for our lead pastors? We love John and Debbie so much, and they have impacted our lives in amazing ways. Hey, we're so excited to be here today. I'm so excited to be here today to open God's word with you. And as Pastor said in the introduction, we're continuing our series on Get Smart. As we look at what this Proverbs tells us today about who we surround ourselves with. And I want to tell you this morning that this principle in this passage can literally change the trajectory of your life. That when you choose to surround yourself with wise people, it sets you up for every other success in life. But the same is true that if you surround yourself with foolish people, you can lead yourself down a path of grief, disappointment, discouragement, and even destruction. So this morning, as we look at this passage, we want to ask ourselves, who am I surrounding myself with? Look at what Proverbs 13, chapter 20 tells us. It says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm." I want to ask you this morning, who are you walking with? Well, one of the well-known friendships over the years has been between Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. Well, the two decided to join some others for a camping trip, and they arrived and set up their campsite, and after everyone had fallen asleep for the evening, Holmes wakes up and says, "Watson, wake up." Watson replied, "What is it, Holmes?" "Watson, look up into the sky and tell me what you see." Watson replied, "I see millions of stars." "What does that tell you?" Holmes asked. Watson pondered for a moment, said, "Well, astrologically, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of stars. Astrologically, I observe that Saturn is in Leo. Horologically, I deduce that the time is approximately 3:15. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful and that we are very small. Meteorologically, I suspect that we will have a beautiful day tomorrow." "Why? What does it tell you, Holmes?" Holmes was silent for a minute and then answered, "Watson, you fool, someone has stolen our tent." You know, we all need friends like Holmes sometimes that can point to the true realities of life. And you know, this Proverbs this morning speaks to the power of friendship. That friendship, that relationships are a powerful tool in our lives. And so this morning, as we look at what this proverb speaks to us, I want to give you three principles that a wise person understands about relationships. And the first is this: a wise person understands that wise friends are a guide for our lives. Look at it. It says, "Whoever walks with the wise." Now, I want to stop for a moment. I love that the word "whoever" starts this passage. Why? Because that means this is for anyone. That despite the decisions you've made in your past, Scripture says you can be wise. That whatever it is you're walking through this morning, this Scripture is for you. That you have the opportunity to grow in wisdom. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. So who are you walking with this morning? Who are your closest friends? Because they will become a guide for your life. I'm curious, have you ever been on a guided tour where you have a guide who's taking you from one point to the next point and they're explaining the significance of that site? Well, then you probably know that proximity is very important when you're on a guided tour. Because if you're with a group of people and you're all the way in the back of that guided tour, what are you doing? You're probably up on your tiptoes, leaning in, trying to hear what's going on. But if you get up close to that guide, you're gonna be able to hear every word. You're gonna be able to see exactly what he's talking about, and you're gonna have a different experience up close than you would far away. Not long ago, I had the opportunity while I was in seminary to study in the land of Israel. And my professor was one of the main guides on that trip. And every time we would go to a location, I made sure that I was as close in proximity to him as possible. Partly because we had a quiz every evening on what he taught. But I wanted to be close. I wanted to hear every word. Because his passion for the Holy Land, coupled with his knowledge of the Word of God, illuminated the Bible in a whole new way for me. That every time I walked away from a conversation or a teaching, I just loved the Word of God even more. I was more passionate about what it had to say for my life. And you know, a wise friend is a lot like a great guide. That when you're with them, you just feel like they're pouring into your life, that you walk away more encouraged. You walk away wanting to love God even more, wanting to pursue his purpose and his passion in your life even more than before you were with them. They're like a guide to your life. In fact, sociologists and leadership experts have long said that you become the average of your five closest friends. So who are your five closest friends? Who are you doing life with? Who do you go to for advice? Who is praying for you? Because as Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 says, take good counsel and accept correction. That's the way to live wisely and well. Take good advice. Are you surrounded by people like that? Do you have wise friends who are pouring into your life? How do you know a person is wise? Well, one of the ways is you're watching the results of the decisions they're making in life. Are the decisions they're making leading to a more wholesome, positive, strong life? Is their marriage growing? Is it flourishing? Is it God-honoring? Are they raising kids who love God and love each other? These are wise people. Wise people see what's in the Word of God and they apply it to their life. Are you walking with people like that? The way you know they're wise is you watch the decisions and how they play out for their life. And this is so important because it's these individuals that will have a massive influence on your thinking, on your actions, on what you experience in life as you're going to them for counsel, as you're watching them raise their kids, as you're watching them grow in their workplace, as you're watching them grow in the church and be dedicated to the things of God. These people have massive influence on your life, those you surround yourself with. That's why Proverbs 12:26 gives us this instruction that the righteous choose their friends carefully. And we've all heard the adage, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And it's true, and King Solomon got it right when he told us this instruction in this great book of Proverbs. Because who you choose to surround yourself with determines where you're gonna end up. The who determines the where. Massive implications around these decisions. And the truth is, if I asked you, who wants to be wise? I think every hand would go up in this place. So I want wisdom. I want to grow in that. But the reality is, you have to choose to surround yourself with wise people if you're going to become wise. Well, first, a wise person understands that friends guide. Secondly, wise friends help us grow. It says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. Now, last week, Pastor John began this series, and he said, these are not so much promises as they are probabilities. And so as you get around wise people, there is a very high probability that you are going to become wise. Because as you're walking together, you're most likely going to adopt their habits. You're going to adopt some of their thinking. You're going to adopt how they do life and how they process decisions. You're going to grow in wisdom. But one of the key words here is the word become. That there's nobody who goes to sleep one night a fool and wakes up wise. It's a process. And nearly everywhere you look in life, there's a process to something becoming what it was intended to be, right? You put seeds in the ground, there's a process of it becoming what it was intended to be until harvest. Now I want to tell you something very important about myself, something that you'll appreciate knowing, most of you. I love coffee. Are there any coffee drinkers in the house? Come on, support me. I see a lot of hands and some cheering. I love a good cup of coffee. I love trying new coffee. I love learning about the process that entails coffee, the different ways to brew it. I thoroughly enjoy a cup of coffee. But did you know that in your cup of coffee, that this cup of coffee went through a process far before it ever became a cup of coffee? Did you know that this cup of coffee started out as a seed? And did you know that that seed would be planted and would take 3 to 4 years to produce the tree that would produce the berry that would hold this coffee bean? And did you know that this coffee bean would go through a process where it would be extracted from that berry, that it would be dried to an 11% moisture content so that it could then be polished, so that it could be graded, so then it could be sized, so that it could be roasted, all then so it could be ground and then brewed into this perfect cup of coffee? Who knew that such a process could end up in such a great reward? It's a process. It's a process. But did you know that if at any point in the process you were to take a shortcut or you were to skip a step, that you would greatly diminish both the quality and the flavor of the product? Do you know that wisdom is a process? And if at any point you choose to shortcut the process, you will greatly diminish the product. If you say, you know, I don't really need relationships, I don't need wise people speaking into my life, well, then you are going to diminish the life that God had intended for you. Because strong, wise relationships, they have a way of extracting things out of us that are not healthy. Bad habits, bad attitudes, places we shouldn't be, ways we shouldn't think. They extract that out of you and pour something much better into you. It's a process that results in a great reward. And that great reward is that you become wise. But it's a process. And you have to commit to the process, becoming wise. Beautiful thing is, everybody has the opportunity to become wise. You know, one of the ways you become wise is you surround yourself with wise people. You get into a life group where you are going to strategically position yourself to grow. If you want to become wise, get around other people who want to become wise. And in life groups, you are strategically going to make that a probability that you're going to grow in wisdom. In fact, one of the things I love about my life group is to watch people in different seasons of life grow. A few years ago when we were preparing to start the 21-day Daniel fast as a church, we encouraged our group, hey, let's do this together. And there are some that are like, man, I don't know, that's a really long time. I've never fasted for that long. And we just said, hey, we're gonna do it together, and then we're in this journey together. We're gonna be able to encourage each other. We're gonna be able to pray for each other. We're gonna see God do big things as a result. And people jumped in. They're like, yeah, we're gonna do it. This is awesome. We believe God's gonna help us through this, and he's gonna answer prayer. And you know what was amazing is that's exactly what started to happen. That as we had shared each other's requests, that people began to see God to work. God worked supernaturally in their situation. In fact, one couple, through that process, they shared with the group, they said, you know, we've really not been faithful with tithing, and we know God's speaking to us about that, and we're making a commitment before God and before you that we're gonna start tithing faithfully. And I love that because I'm like, man, I can't wait to see what God's gonna do. This is gonna be so awesome. It's gonna encourage this group. It's gonna encourage others that God's gonna bless them. And he was self-employed at the time, and just about a month or two into it, I remember we were sitting at Life Group, and they said, we have a praise report. I received the single largest contract of my entire career being self-employed. And to watch people start cheering for them and saying, God is good and God does follow in obedience. When you follow God, when you honor God, obedience is gonna follow. And you know, that just encouraged the whole group to grow and to believe God for more in their life. Because that's what happens when you get around wise people. It's why Grow Track is so important, because it's in the name. You're gonna grow. This is an opportunity to become more wise. You're gonna experience how God has uniquely wired you and gifted you so that you can make a difference in the lives of others, and you're gonna grow and others grow through that. If you wanna grow, you have to commit to the process, because the truth is this, everybody is growing. Everybody is growing. It's just a matter of which direction you're growing in. You're either growing more wise and more like Christ, or you're growing more foolish and away from Christ. Make no mistake, every person is growing. Who are you surrounded with by? Well, thirdly, a wise person understands that you must guard your friendships. You must guard your friendships. Let's look at it again. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Look at how the Message paraphrase states this. It says, hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. I'm sure every person in this room this morning could identify someone or a situation where you saw them get involved with the wrong crowd. They started hanging out with people that didn't have their best intentions in mind, and they began to influence their decisions, and what began to happen was their life started to fall to pieces. But nobody plans for their life to fall to pieces. If I were to ask you today, hey, what do you want your life to be like a year from now? 5 years from now? What do you see in your future 10 years from now? How about 20 years? What stories do you want to tell your kids? What stories do you want to tell your grandkids? You know what nobody's going to say? You know, I think a year from now, I hope things are going okay, but not as good as today, you know? My marriage is pretty strong, but I'm hoping in the next few years it just starts to go downhill. That's what I'm trying to do. In 10 years, that's when I want my career just to fall apart. I think that the 10-year mark is a good time for that. And by year 20, that's when I'd like everything to fall to pieces and I hit rock bottom. That'd be awesome. Nobody says that, and nobody really wants that. But here's the truth. Your decisions today are what determine your realities tomorrow. And you can say all day long that I don't want to end up here. You can say all day long that I want a strong marriage and I want my kids to love God and I want to have a family that is growing. But if you're not surrounding yourself with people who have that same goal in mind and they are applying the word of God to their lives, then it's just a dream. You can dream, and you know, whenever we think about the future, everything always looks brighter, right? But if you're not thinking and pursuing both God and godly, wise relationships, then that's not gonna be a reality for you. But God wants it to be a reality for you. And he loves you so much, and he loves me so much, that he has given us this book of the Bible, and he has given us this instruction. Say, if you want to know how things will go well for you, I'm going to tell you some wisdom. I'm going to direct your life. And one of the key principles is surround yourself with wise people. That's why the church is so powerful. That's why you made a great decision to be in church today, because you're surrounding yourself with people who love God and who want to grow in God. You're surrounding yourself with wise people. And God wants that for every single person in this room. He wants you to grow wise. Do not let the enemy discount you to say, well, that's not you. I mean, the cards aren't in your favor. I mean, you didn't grow up in this kind of family, or you didn't have this kind of parent. You know, the enemy wants to do that. He wants you to believe that this is a truth for everybody in this room but you, and that is a lie. He wants it for you. And a wise person understands, if you're going to experience the destiny and the future that God would have for you, there's gonna be guardrails that you have to put in your life. You have to guard against toxic relationship. That's why Proverbs 14:7 says, stay away from fools, for you won't find knowledge on their lips. You have to guard yourself from foolish relationships, from toxic relationships. These are people and friendships that are not life-giving. They're not pushing you to be more like Christ. They're not giving you good, helpful advice. These are people who really encapsulate negative relationships. Toxic relationships are just a spirit of negativity in a person's life. Like, it could be 73 degrees and sunny, and they're complaining that there aren't more clouds in the sky. I mean, it could be awesome, and they're gonna find something wrong with it. Their intent is to go in and to find out what doesn't please them so they can complain about it. You know, if you surround yourself with negative people, guess what you're gonna become? Negative. You say, well, I'm just gonna try and be positive and poor, and that is awesome. But if your core influences are already always negative, you're gonna become negative, and you're gonna see your life shrivel back to where everything you see is just permeated by a spirit that is just negative. You have to guard against these things. You have to guard against compromising relationships. They're toxic. Compromising relationships cause you to compromise your convictions. Things that at one point you said, you know, that's something that I don't feel like I'm gonna be involved in because it doesn't ultimately allow me to glorify God with my life. It doesn't really help my family to grow closer to God. It doesn't help me in my career to pursue godly wisdom and godly decisions. But when you get around people who their convictions aren't the same as yours, but they really are diluted, and they're like, oh, that's not big a deal. Sin's not that big a deal. You know, if you cheat a little bit here, it's not that big a deal. If you go and entertain yourself that way, it's not really that big a deal. Their lack of conviction will stunt your spiritual growth. You have to be careful. You have to guard against compromising relationships. You have to guard against spiritually complacent relationships. Whether Christian or non-Christian, you have to be very careful about your core influences that if they're spiritually complacent, what does that mean? That there's really no desire to grow in the Lord. There's really not much of a desire to increase their love for God. There's really not that much of a desire to be a part of the church and to be in a life group and to get involved in the things that God's involved in. You have to guard against spiritual complacency, because their spiritual complacency will diminish your spiritual vitality. That's why the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be fooled, for bad company corrupts good character." You become like the company that you hang around, like a chameleon who blends into its surroundings. You become like who you run with. Say, well, wait, how do I reach my lost friends? I mean, I go into an environment every day that's very negative and people don't know the Lord. And we're not talking about not reaching people. Absolutely, we have a responsibility to bring light into darkness, to let people know about the faith that we have. But we're talking about the core influences of our life, who we go to for advice, who we surround ourselves with, that we are leaning into and learning from. You say, well, I'm in a negative environment every day. What am I supposed to do? All the more reason you need to strategically place yourself in positive relationships when you're not at work, so you can get fueled up. You can go back into that place and they're gonna be like, what happened to you? Well, I've been with God's people. I've been in church. I've been with my life group. I've been in the Word of God. And your countenance begins to change the atmosphere that you're in. It's the power of strong, wise relationships. If you're gonna be a person that is wise, you must commit to the process of becoming wise. And there's some here this morning, and the Lord is speaking to your heart, and he's saying, you know that relationship, you know that friendship, it's not God's best for you. I have something more. He wants more for you this morning. Maybe there are some. You say, well, I don't have wise friends. But really the truth is, it's because you're not even walking with the Lord. And as we heard last week, Proverbs chapter 9 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That the beginning of wisdom starts with a relationship with God. That as you walk with the Lord, you're gonna see some things you didn't see before. You're gonna understand some things you didn't understand before. Then you're gonna begin to surround yourself with people who can strengthen and encourage you. Well, I'm gonna invite the musicians to come, and as they do, as I was preparing for this message, I thought of a story of a couple who joined our life group several years ago. It was in January, the beginning of a new trimester. They came in, and after we had eaten the meal together, we had sat down and we were really discussing, hey, what do you want to see God do in the year ahead? And it got to them, and their honesty, they just said, you know what, we're going to be totally straight up with this group. We don't know any of you, but we're just going to tell you what's going on. Our marriage is falling apart. We don't even live together right now. We're very discouraged. We've done horrible things. And this is kind of our last ditch effort to see if God can really heal a marriage. Just the weight of that on the group, I thought, oh man, Lord, minister to them in this moment. You know what's really cool is I just watched our life group begin to say, hey, you know what, nothing's impossible for God. And people began to tell their story. Hey, we've been where you're at, or we walked through a situation, or we saw this happen to another couple and God really brought healing. Just to watch the group begin to minister to them. They kept coming to life group. There were times when only he would show up and he'd say, I don't know, I just don't think this is gonna work. And we would just keep encouraging them. And they'd come together, and then she'd just come, and then they'd come together again. It was this roller coaster for many months. But I will never forget about 5-6 months into it, and they were both there, and we had got to our prayer time at the end, and she says, actually, we would like to share a praise report. Oh, wow, what's going on? She said, well, this week I moved all my stuff back into the house. We've moved back in together. We've still got a lot of work to do, but this is a big step forward. And the next thing she'll say is something I'll never forget. She said, you know, it's very interesting that everybody outside the church, everybody outside of this life group, they all told us just to give up, to scrap the marriage, to start over, that he's this, that she's that. The only people that told us to trust God and to believe him for restoration and to believe him for a miracle were the people inside this church and inside this life group. And then she said this, I'm really glad we listened to you. They have a 10-month-old little boy today. They serve on the discipleship team at the West Campus, breathing hope into others to say, we've been through it. God can bring restoration. God can bring healing. Just look to him. Look, he will help you. And it's the power of surrounding yourself with wise people.